Hi, I'm Bill Goodrich, president of Horizon University. Are you interested in completing your college degree from a Christ-centered, biblically integrated, and fully accredited university? In associate and bachelor degree programs designed for students to excel in their professions as they win and disciple others for Christ in business and ministry. For a theologically sound, affordable, and accredited college institution, visit horizonuniversity.edu and start earning your degree. Excellent teaching today for the leaders of tomorrow.
Jesus' warnings about false prophets still hold true today. Upon closer examination, it becomes clear that many nice-sounding messages don't agree with God's message in the Bible. Only a solid foundation in God's Word can equip us to perceive the errors and distortions in false teaching. That's why we here at Horizon simply go through the Bible.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
We're looking at Mark chapter 13, verses 14 through 23, and also in Matthew, we will be looking at verses 25 and 20 through 28 out of Matthew 24. So if you can put your fingers there, but we're going to start in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is just literally hours away from his death. He knows that, but those around him truly haven't embraced that. He's spoken about that. He's given them warning. He's encouraged them to understand because he doesn't want them to be blown away when the crucifixion happens. But they, as I would be, no doubt, if I was alive at that time, did not understand, truly understand what the Lord was doing and saying. Because they expected a ruler to come to Jerusalem and everything would be okay there, but he came to die, not to establish his kingdom in the way that they were looking for him to do that. Now, you remember up to this point, he had dealt with the triumphal entry. He'd come into the city of Jerusalem. From there, he cleansed the temple. We learned a lot about that as we went through the book of Mark here. We saw that he was attacked over and over by the religionists. And he denounced them. He came against them and spoke truth. We also see that he came to a point to lament and weep over Jerusalem. Because of what the people had done, they had committed sin, and they were about to commit the most grievous sin that mankind would ever know. They were going to crucify God's Messiah. They're going to crucify on that cross, as we know, God incarnate, God who came to this earth. Judgment would come very quickly upon the nation of Israel in 70 AD. And so we see that upon the nation of Israel. As we've learned, as we've been going through the book of Mark here, chapter 13, we've seen that it points to another judgment that will come upon this earth called the Great Tribulation. Now, I believe one reason that Jesus takes time here just before he dies, he's got the disciples' attention. He's been speaking about this in ways, just briefly, but now in depth, he wants to reveal this truth for them, to them, for two reasons. Now, if you'll look, please, in verse 14, Mark chapter 13. Jesus said, and we've studied this, in the book of Mark, we've gone through a series of different things. We've looked at the beginning of sorrows. We've looked at the abomination desolation in verse 14. And then we begin in the second part of that to go through this section that'll take us through verse 23. He says in verse 14, "So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet." Now, if you weren't here and you would like to go back, you can go on the webpage and you can see 2 weeks ago the teaching on the abomination of desolation. "But when you see the abomination of desolation," this which will happen in the future, where I believe none other than the Antichrist, who quite potentially at this point, I believe, could be possessed by Satan himself, walk into the temple and establish an image there, an image that is opposed to God. Many believe it's going to be an image of himself, the Antichrist, but whatever it is, it's going to be an abomination. It's coming against what God's purposes are for the rebuilt temple that I believe will come be built in Jerusalem someday. And so that's the abomination desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not to. Now notice in black, the words that have been added by the Holy Spirit there, they weren't exactly the words of Jesus, but they're very important words. Notice he says, let the reader understand. Now, why would it be so important, the Holy Spirit inserting those words in there? Because it's a challenge and an encouragement for us to be prepared, number one. Because there's times coming upon this earth. Now, we go through trials and tribulations, and we understand that, and there's ways that we walk through those trials and tribulations. We talked about that last week when we were on the outside service. We talked that how do we walk through these trials and difficulties that we have. And it's the same for us today as it will be for this group of people when this happens on planet Earth. We're not to fear. We talked about that. Guard against divisions because the enemy will try to divide and conquer that way. We are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. We are to make sure there's relationships that we have, accountability, because we are weak when we stand by ourselves, but we are stronger when we are together. Our lives are truly to be mixed with faith. We are to walk in faith. That's how we walk through these things, and that's how these people during this time are also to walk. We are to stay in the Word of God and stay in prayer. We are to practice the one another ministry. It's all the way through Scripture. There's over 40 one another's, and we spoke about that. And we are to remember who we are in Christ. So for us today in our lives, how do we walk through trials? These things that we just spoke about, but in the future, definitely. And so they were to be with understanding. Notice again the black words there in verse 14, as long as you got a red letter Bible there. Let the reader understand. As I said, we are to be prepared both spiritually and mentally for what we will enter into, what they will enter into. And as we will close, we'll see this more. Because we have understanding of what Jesus is talking about, we're to go to the highways and the byways and tell anybody we can about these truths. It should be so burnt upon our hearts. We should be so concerned that this is going to come upon the earth. And our family members may be those that lived through the tribulation, that we go to them and we sit down with them, and they might not like the message, but we are to tell them about the truth. Because I believe there will be a rapture of the church. And then really, chaos will come to this planet. And so Jesus was aware of this, and he wanted to encourage his disciples with these things that we see today. One thing, though, to take away from our study today is simply that God is in control of everything. Persecutions and the length of persecutions. He has a timing. He has a way. He's there in the midst of everything that we see here. And so in verses 14 through 23, and then in Matthew, we're going to see five issues that are very important for us to understand. The first one is found in Mark chapter 13. Let's read together again verses 14 through 18. It says, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not. Let the reader understand. Let him not be without understanding. Let him not be caught by surprise. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of the house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter. And Matthew says, not on the Sabbath. Because the Jewish people, you know, it would be against what they believe. Even today, on the Sabbath, the Jewish people will not travel beyond a certain distance. And so there's a warning here to flee immediately. Within this warning, we see here five things that are important to consider in verses 14 through 18. The first one is to flee to a place of safety. They are to flee. One might say, oh, that's natural. Yeah, but they got to be wise in where they flee. When we face trials and tribulations, we have to be wise where we flee. We can go to the wrong place. We can go for the wrong counsel. We can depend upon things we're not to depend upon. He's saying there's going to be a place for them. Picture, there's a command to flee, but to flee to the mountains. Now, for you that have been to Jordan, there's a place called Petra. And in Petra, it's an amazing city that was carved out of a mountain. And if you remember Indiana Jones, how many remember Indiana Jones? Okay, now remember this beautiful place that was carved out of the mountains? That's Petra. That's where it is. We've been able to be there and see it. And it's an amazing thing. And in this hillside and the mountain area, you have to go to get there. You have to go through this narrow place that can be protected and controlled. And then you get there and it opens up like it's just an amazing thing where they lived for many, many years and carved out their homes in the mountains. Many believe that that's where Israel will flee to. Some believe so much so that I've been told, but I didn't see it when I was there, so I don't know, that there are many Christian businessmen that in parts of the caves that are there, they have put food and supplies, so they believe when the nation of Israel flees. There's coming a day when the Antichrist will step into that temple. And when he steps into the temple and he reveals who he truly is, Israel, those that are alive, believers at that point, need to flee. And they can't hesitate because it's coming quickly, the judgment that will come upon the earth at that point. We see as we go through verses 14 through 18, we see a person is encouraged to forget all the comfort of the home. And that's pictured by rising from the roof and immediately fleeing. We see that a person is to forget all personal possessions, pictured by returning from his work to get his clothes or his possessions. They're not to do that. It's pictured by a person is to grieve when that happens. Grieve for those who cannot flee rapidly because it's coming so quickly. Those that would be with child or have children at that point. There's a warning. We must be prepared is what Jesus is saying. And then there, a person is warned to pray for good conditions in fleeing there, that it wouldn't come in the winter or wouldn't come on the Sabbath day. So he's just simply painting a picture that's important for them to realize this difficulty is coming and you need to be prepared. Notice to whom Jesus speaks, who is to forget worldly possessions and comforts of home? His disciples. His followers, those that will believe in him and trust in him, because difficult times are coming. He cares. He's about to die, and yet he takes time to talk about something that hasn't even happened yet today, over approximately 2,000 years from when he spoke that. So it was important that he understands that, and there's great lessons that we learn from that, how we walk through trials and tribulations. We separate ourselves from the world. We don't take things that we should not into our lives to try to accomplish what only God can accomplish in our lives because it will not work. It's empty. We must take him and we must turn to him. The second thing we see here is in verse 19. Look at it. It says, for in those days there will be tribulation. Actually, you could put great tribulation. Such as has not been since the beginning of the creation. Notice how he defines this. No other tribulation, not World War II, not World War I, no disaster that mankind has ever experienced. Notice he's saying right here in verse 19, for in those days, in the future tense from where we are today, in those days there will be tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. Difficult times are coming. And so he's reminding them, be careful, it's coming, so be aware of this. Unparalleled in history. See, in 66 AD, the Jewish people there in Israel rebelled against the Romans. And so from 66 AD to 70 AD, the Roman legions came to Jerusalem and surrounded Jerusalem. And according to Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, he has written that over 1 million Jews came out of the countryside and came into the walls of Jerusalem. Now, if you've been to Jerusalem, it's not all that big, especially the old walls when you study that. But 1 million people, and we've just got to go by what he has said, but 1 million people go into there, and the army comes around, and it's besieged as for what we see approximately 4 years. And it will fall. It falls in 70 AD. And Josephus says that approximately 1 million people died within those walls there in Jerusalem. And so no small thing happened at that point. In fact, Josephus penned this concerning that event. He says, "It appears to me that the misfortunes of all men from the beginning of the world, if they be compared to these of the Jews," at 70 AD speaking of, "are not as considerable as they were at this time." He's taken all the disasters that he would be aware of, combining them all together and saying they aren't as grievous as what he was looking at that time for the nation of Israel. In the end time, we see the end times, what is being spoken about here. The world will experience greater tribulation than this event, unparalleled in history. A quick glance at the great tribulation period covered in the book of Revelation reveals this to us, that in this period of time, the great tribulation, you see it in Revelation chapter 8 through Revelation chapter 17. You guys can study that for yourselves, but you see things like this, thundering. You ever stand there and all of a sudden, you know, thunder just explodes, lightning, the crack of lightning and everything, and you realize how small you are. Have you ever been standing out in the middle of nowhere? Yeah, I've been on a golf course, and I said, time to flee. Get out of there at that point. Thundering, lightning, earthquakes will come upon the earth like no other time, is what Jesus is saying. Natural catastrophes are going to be on this planet. We're seeing those right now. We see disasters now. We've seen them. They seem to be intensifying, but it's nothing like during this time, is what Scripture reveals to us. During this time, there's going to be demonic-like locusts or plagues that will come upon the earth. There'll be a demonic-like army that's going to come against Israel. There'll be angry nations who want to destroy the earth, and an evil political leader will rule. A false and evil religious ruler will stand next to the Antichrist, and he'll bring down wonders upon the earth. Terrible destruction and suffering, both upon nature and men, will happen according to Revelation chapter 16. And in Revelation chapter 17, we see an evil, deceptive world power. Difficult times. Why would Jesus want his people to know about it? So they would have understanding. So they would be prepared physically, mentally, spiritually to go through and to keep their witness so they can witness to other people. That's why. You and I face trials and tribulations. Nothing compared to this. I'm rooting for the rapture. How many root for the rapture? We'll be out of this, and I know that. But there's a possibility we can go through different parts of this. Are we prepared? Will we flee? Will we deny Christ? We can't do that. Did you want to say something, hon? Did you want to say something? You got your hand up? Nope. Okay. Too cute, guys. You should be up here. Too cute. You know, and so we're not to be afraid because God has it all in control. It's a beautiful thing. Look at verse 20 of this chapter. He says, and unless, look here, unless, this shows the Lord in control, the Lord had shortened these days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Now, anybody say praise the Lord? That's us. That's those that will be alive during this time. That's those there in Jerusalem. It reveals his love for us. It helps us to get through the trials and tribulations. Because, you know, I believe that I have not really received what I deserve because of God's mercy. Grace is receiving what we do not deserve. And mercy is not receiving what we deserve. It's an amazing thing. I and you, we have not received what we do deserve. That's called God's mercy. And God's mercy is right there. Look at that again, verse 20. Unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Lord, thank you. Judgment is deserved upon in those lives, our lives and the people during that time, but he's going to come in and he's going to return someday. According to Revelation chapter 19, as we saw a couple weeks ago, he's going to come back riding on a horse. You know, it's just going to be an amazing thing that we see there. Look at verses 21 through 22. Then, notice the word then, if anyone says to you, notice he's warning, look, here is the Christ. Or look, he is there. Do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. Who's he speaking of, the elect? Well, on planet Earth, he's speaking about people that know him and believe in him. It's going to be, deception's going to be strong. Is there deception on planet Earth today? Is it powerful? Does it seem like it's getting more powerful? Is there a greater battle for souls of men, women, boys, and girls? It's just intensifying, is it not? It's nothing to compare to what's going to be at this time. That's what Jesus is revealing here. It's important that we understand. There's going to be false messiahs and prophets will arise. When men are oppressed in a scene after scene of death and hunger and pestilence and murder and war, they cry for deliverance. So they begin to look out, but they're going to look, unfortunately, in the wrong place. And that's why Jesus said, don't go there. See, often when we have trials, we go where we shouldn't go. We begin to depend upon things that we shouldn't depend upon. False prophets will show great signs and wonders. Often people, even on planet Earth today, have all these wonders and signs and all these things, these great things, and they build it up. And it's on our Christian TV channels. It's on our Christian radio channels and all these things. I was reading, there was a guy who's an evangelist in Alabama. He feels that he needs a $49 million jet so he can get around. He doesn't have to stop twice instead of once. And I thought, give me a break, you know? I'll just stick with my car. I don't know if I can get overseas with it, but anyway. But you know, really? Do you really need a $49 million jet because you have one that's really nice at this point? And I'm not judging. I guess I am. Guess I am. Come on now. You can stop twice. You can do that. All kinds of things are out there. We have to be very, very careful. And that's what Jesus is warning about. False deliverers will be so convincing that will even threaten the elect. The elect, of course, are genuine believers who stick with Christ regardless of temptation, trials, and threat of danger. Listen to 2 Thessalonians. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. It's he who we turn to, not the things of the world. It's very easy to depend upon that. You know, unfortunately, you will let me down. I will let you down. We're just not perfect. I hope that we're quick to turn around and ask for forgiveness in that way. Jesus' warnings about false prophets still hold true today. Upon closer examination, it becomes clear that many nice-sounding messages don't agree with God's message in the Bible. Only a solid foundation in God's Word can equip us to perceive the errors and distortions in false teaching. That's why we here at Horizon simply go through the Bible. New Testament Sunday mornings, Old Testament Wednesday nights, home fellowships, we're in the Word of God. We're fellowshipping over the Word of God. Join with me here. Look in Mark chapter 23, chapter 13, verse 23. Jesus says, but take heed. See, I have told you just a few things. What's it say? And what does all mean? You guys tired of that yet? year after year. But take heed, see, understand, I have told you all things beforehand. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 24, where this truth is expounded a little bit more. Matthew 24, and we'll begin in verse 25, where we see the same words in Matthew 24, verse 25, where Jesus says, "See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore," verse 26, "if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out. Or, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it." So we see that's repeated there. But look at verse 27 and 28, two verses that are added that add our understanding to what Jesus said that day to his disciples. "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together." He's telling them exactly how he's going to come. He's not going to come out of a secret place. He's not going to come out of the desert, you know, sneaking in somehow. He's not going to come out of an inner room where he's been hiding out and all that. It says there, it's going to be as lightning. Where does lightning appear from? It appears from the heavens. And we see in Scripture in Revelation, we see that he's going to come out of heaven someday in a powerful way. He's coming, and his coming shall not be out of, his coming shall be out of heaven, out of the spiritual world and dimension, just as lightning. His coming shall be sudden and surprising, just as lightning. His coming shall be visible to all, seen from east to west, just as lightning. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "Behold, he," Jesus, "is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." Even so, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, amen. He doesn't have to hide out. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He was victorious on the cross for you and I. He's coming to put the earth back in order, and he's coming for his people. Jesus shall come, yes, to execute judgment, but he's coming to take care of you and I. And Matthew and those that are on earth at that point, Matthew 25, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Praise the Lord. It's happened. It's going to happen. It's coming. It's written in Scripture. "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." There's going to be a separation at that point. God is in control. When judgment will come, it will come. And there will be an end to it, and he'll come upon this earth. Praise the Lord. Concerning the end times that are coming, it is important to realize that we truly do and will need each other. Have you ever tried to go through a trial by yourself? It's not as much fun as if you have somebody with you, right? It's good. Come on, join in me. I've got a trial right now. Come on over here, you know, and all that. But it helps. It helps a person to come. My wife is the greatest encourager. She just is. She truly is. You know, and she'll just come in there and she just has the words to say. I'm going, "Ooh, I can't believe this." I'm moaning and complaining. And she comes over and just kisses me on my cheek. "Okay, I'm ready to go now." We need each other. There's this little story I found. A young woman was waiting for a bus in a slum area one evening when a rookie police officer approached her. "Want me to wait with you?" he asked. She replied, "Thank you, but that's not necessary. I'm not afraid." "Well then," this rookie police officer said to her, grinning, "would you mind waiting with me?" You know, we need each other. Amen? Jesus is warning. This is what's going to come upon planet Earth. And you and I are the ones that understand this. And you and I are the ones that are able to share with other people. In a loving way, but a way that might set them free. It's just amazing. Speaking of godly compassion, Alice Lee Humphreys in her book, Angels and Pinafores. Anybody read that? I can honestly say I didn't. Pinafore is not something I would read about. Okay. Angels and Pinafores tells about her experience as a first grade teacher. She tells about one little girl who came to school one winter day wearing a beautiful white Angora beret, white mittens, and a matching muff. As she was coming through the door, a mischievous little boy grabbed the white muff and threw it in the mud. After disciplining the little boy, the teacher sought to comfort the girl. Brushing the mud off of her soiled muff, the little girl looked up the teacher and said in a quiet and responsible manner, "Sometime I must take a day off and tell him about God." Now, isn't that too much? That is amazing. Guess what? Someday, we have to take a day off and tell the ones that we love about God, because there's difficult times coming. Compassion should be a moving force in our lives today. It's an amazing thing that we see. God is so good. So, the Great Tribulation, very simply put, a lot more details. But today we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? He came for you and I. 2,000 years ago, he had a vision. He was born into this world. There, through the virgin birth of Mary, right according to Scripture, he came on the scene. He walked on this earth, never rebelled against his Father, never sinned. He there one day walked into Jerusalem, and they all celebrated, not truly understanding, because it was the move of the Holy Spirit. And there he went in and cleansed the temple. And there he continued to the cross. And there at the cross, he would die for you and I, so we could be free forever and ever. But we've got to take the message to the needy world. Somebody brought it to me. Somebody no doubt brought it to you. And we should take it to the world. Some thoughts to consider, though, as we take communion. How does talk of the end times motivate us to live a holy life? Today, are we motivated to live a holy life? What signs do you see that we may be close to the end, the beginning of the end? Are there any signs out there? How about the Middle East right now? Just looking. So if we're close to the end, potentially, we should be ready. We should share. What are some current examples of false prophets deceiving people today? They're out there. Wasn't there a dude that said the rapture was going to be last month? You know, there's more out there. How could we today use this passage that we have just gone through to tell a non-believer about Jesus Christ? It's wonderful. We know the truth. Do not be without understanding. Here it is before us. Let it motivate our hearts. And Lord, we want to thank you today. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.